welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 33, and this month will be a special episode because we have a special guest. But first, let me invite my co-host that is screen sharing right now. Hello, Hernani. Oh, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hello, guys. I am having some difficulties with the tool here, so
you may want to stop the screen sharing.
Yeah, I'm back.
Hello, Hernani.
I'm glad to be here. Glad that we have an inviter here, somebody who contributed very well to the PHP classes website, and I'm glad to be here to participate on this.
Okay, so now for our guest, Carl Holtz, the top contributor of the year 2012. The developer that has submitted more innovative classes this year. Hello, Carl. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, over here it's a bit warm, and looking at you, I suppose it should be cold over there.
Oh, it's cold. It's it's been raining, fair bit of snow.
Yeah.
It's Canada.
You're in Canada. Well, I also have a brother in Canada, and he happens to work with collecting ice during the winter. It's not a very good profession.
No, I prefer working inside.
Yeah, well, good for you. Well, the reason why you are here, as I have mentioned, you were the winner of the 2012 edition of the PHP Programming Innovation Award. Just a brief review of what is this award. It's basically an initiative that was started in PHP Classes site in 2004, and the goal is to encourage developers to submit more innovative classes as opposed to classes to do the same for the same purposes as many authors have been doing. And so far it has been great. Almost near 1,000 innovative classes have been sent. And since a few years ago, we have this annual edition that takes in account as some points that each nominee during the year accumulates, and in the end, the winner of the year is the one that gets more points throughout the year. In this time, it was Carl Holtz. Congratulations, Carl, once again. And for those that are not aware, you have won it's a symbolic prize. It's an elephant mascot. And fortunately, this year it arrived sooner. The post office excelled against my expectations, and you were able to receive it in time for this recording. But I'd like to just do a basic interview with you, so our listeners get to know you better about your work. First, I'd like you to start and talk a bit about yourself, what you do, where do you work, and about your involvement with PHP in general.
Well, my day job is I work as a rigger and an AV technician, so I do audiovisual and rigging in hotels for an audiovisual company called PSAV. And I also work for another staging company as well that's in the convention center. That's primarily what I do for my living, but PHP has been a hobby of mine. I don't get paid to do PHP. It's just something I learned in school, and I kept going.
That has been great so far, because you submit several interesting classes, innovative, and that's why you got nominated several times. And I was wondering if somehow this award influenced somehow your career, winning the prizes, if it helped somehow you on that sense, or maybe not.
So actually today I got called, someone saw my profile today and called me for a job.
Oh, that's really great.
But I just sent him my resume. I haven't actually started had an interview yet, but it was a surprise.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the first class I contributed to you guys, I was surprised when you nominated me for it, because I didn't expect it. I did it in 2 days, the image embedder.
Well, being innovative, maybe it doesn't take too much time to actually do it. And the rules of the award are very simple. You just have to submit something that is innovative, that, I mean, compared to everything else that is in the site. And that's it. And all nominations are due. I would never nominate somebody if did not submit a package that is innovative. So I'm glad that you were somehow surprised with it, but it was deserved.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay,
but encouraged me to make something more interesting, you know.
yeah, and in the future we'll also have some new developments that will hopefully make it even more fun to participate in this community. But well, carrying on with this interview, maybe you could give a brief overview of the packages that you submitted. Probably you can screen share. I don't know if you are familiar with the screen sharing. You just open a window with your classes in your browser, and then there's a button on the left of the Hangout window to share your window. And you can just talk a bit briefly about
the screen sharing.
Usually you just select a window, so only that window will appear. Or maybe if you have
I got more than one display, so I'm trying to figure out which.
That's an additional challenge.
It can be. Yeah, here we go. So there we go.
Okay.
Sharing. So basically, the first. This will start with what's at the top.
Okay.
CSS one Mac class was basically.
Okay. Sorry. Can you increase the font a little bit?
Sorry.
The right, that's it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so CSS one was basically I was combined a bunch of style sheets and minified them. I also embedded my images into the style sheet as well, so you have one single output. So this was ideal for the jQuery UI, which is what I used for my demo, was to demonstrate how you could use jQuery UI and put it all in one file
right.
for the CSS. That was basically, my idea was just to cut down the amount of requests to the web server and to keep everything within one file for the user interface for
HTTP. It uses the data URLs for the image, right? So they get embedded in the CSS.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Gigcable was basically my attempt at writing a RESTful application with jQuery and PHP. Basically what that did was allow me to... Basically, I generated images that used the resistor code for all the numeric values, and I had a QR code with it. So the QR code could have been a V card, a telephone number, an email address, or like a text message, or like not a text message, but you know, like a note. But that was pretty interesting. I spent a fair bit of time on that, and I also had English and French translations. Image Embedder, that class was the first one I submitted to you guys. It was a command line tool that read an HTML file, replaced all the image links with the data URLs, and it also judged the size of the images itself before it embedded them, so the file wouldn't get too big.
Yeah.
Protect image, well, I didn't get an award for that. That just put a watermark on there on images. Proto Rewired was... basically, it fixes Adobe Proto. So Adobe Proto on the iPad would make HTML wireframes, and you could email the zip file to yourself. The problem with that was the HTML was malformed, so this was just a way of fixing that. I didn't get an award or nomination for that, but that's okay. Proxycast is basically it's a part of my Slomcast player, and what that does is it downloads the podcast and provides a JSON document of all the podcasts that are cached, so that you can quickly include them into a page. So a lot of reminder. That class was basically it queries several different services so that I can find out my times for prayer. Since as a Muslim, I have to pray 5 times a day, or I don't have to, but I need. It's like more of a need.
Yeah.
So it's a way of finding out my times for when Because every location is different. It's based on the location of the sun. If I can't see the sun, at least this way, I can figure out the times for prayer. Or if I'm stuck in an office, or if I don't have my phone with me. Web map is a web interface to Nmap, Nmap's security tool. Basically, it's just an XHTML interface to that. And you could just basically post the information to the web server, and then it reprints the log to the web page. And that's it.
Right. Well. Actually, you mentioned that you are Muslim, so you there are specific times and for praying. I was not aware of that until actually another Muslim developer before you published also a class that does something somewhat different, but I think it addresses some need. I think there is some requirement to pray in certain direction also, right?
Yeah, you pray towards Mecca. So for where I'm at, that's northeast. Because of the Earth is not flat, it's circular.
Right.
So you got to find the shortest path. I have a calculator for that on my phone. I have a way to figure out the proper direction.
So you also developed somehow other classes that somehow help you to participate in those religion requirements. I'm not sure if requirements are there.
I created it as a tool for other people to use as well. It was more of I was using someone else's web service, and that was, to be honest with you, I wasn't really using it for myself because I have a program on my phone. I also saw that the other class that I think the brother was from Syria.
Yeah.
Basically, I looked at it, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna look up every single country's geolocation, so I came up with another solution to look up, use the IP address to find the geolocation.
Oh,
so
right.
That's how I was able to look up the proper times.
So did you get good acceptance among that community of Muslims?
To be honest, not really, because maybe I didn't explain it right to some of them. Like some of the people, brothers I know, aren't really tech savvy, so I guess it didn't, I told people about it, but I guess it didn't get as much as I was hoping. But, you know, I got an award for it, so.
Yeah.
Inshallah.
Well, from what I could figure...
I had someone contact me on your website about it, but he was like, he wasn't from Canada. Like, from the people I talked to locally, I didn't
yeah,
get
but,
it.
Yeah, but I mean from the Muslim community in general, not just from your country, did you get any interest from that community? Or
I've only had one person contact me, and he was from Malaysia.
Oh, yeah, a lot over there.
He was actually surprised. He was like, oh, you're Muslim? I didn't know you're Muslim.
Well... There's not. I don't think there is any specific requirement to be a specific religion. So, but well, okay. Well, I'm glad that it has been helpful because this is a universal site. There is no restrictions or of religion of origin to anybody. Actually, I try as much as possible to give evidence from people that people are from different countries, because once I show that everybody can participate in a positive way from regardless wherever you are, and eventually whatever religion you have, you can always share something that is useful and appreciated by everybody else. So it is all interesting to know what is the kind of feedback that you have been getting. Well, anyway, the next question I would have is about something that I always ask to every winner every year. Since you won, it means that you probably tried harder than others that did not win. And so I was wondering if at least since a certain point you were not you did you try to focus specifically to be more innovative and eventually win this award, or was it accidental?
Well, some of the ones I tried, like the proto rewired, I was hoping to get an award for that, but that was the one I didn't get an award. Some of the, like I said, the first one I submitted, I didn't get it, got an award for it. I didn't expect it. So I guess it's more based on chance.
Yeah. Because I'm sure there are always people that will try to win the award, and some have their tactics, as I have asked in previous years. So I was wondering if you would have any tactics that you would like to share and recommend to other developers so they try eventually win.
I'd say, well, keep it simple. That's what I did. I used, I noticed that some of the things I was using was similar to other classes. I used INI format for for a lot of my configurations. I incorporated XSLT into my classes because I have a fairly good understanding of that. Like, I use Oxygen XML as one of my IDs, so I create XSLT with that to parse XML, because some of the stuff I was doing was XML-based with our RSS feeds and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, HTML, XHTML is also parsing that with XSLT.
Yeah.
And it's quite fast to produce results with XSLT, right?
Yeah, with the Oxygen XML, it's really, really easy. It's verbose, but it does a lot of co-completion, so that's why I've always liked using it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're very great. Very nice.
Now, just I wonder if you could comment a bit about other nominees or winners throughout 2012. Any other classes of other authors that you were more impressed from those that were nominated in 2012? I'm trying to screen share the winners of the year here. Well, there are quite a lot, like probably over 100 nominated classes, but I wonder if you remember any class that you were more impressed from those that were published in 2012.
I'm impressed with, other than my own. let's see.
How come not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe other than the Canadians.
Yeah. This one by Tom Schaffer looked interesting. The MySQL Workbench Schema Converter. Didn't actually look at it too much, but that's one that caught my eye. Because this is the kind of stuff I like, the idea of trying to kill two birds with one stone. You know, you create it from the screenshot. You just create an application, then convert it with your PHP code.
I think it manipulates a format that is in XML, right?
I'm not sure what the format is. It probably is an XML format.
Yeah.
I have one of those. I have a MySQL Workbench, but that's what he's using. I use it myself to connect to my MySQL service.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier than using the command line.
Yeah.
Right.
That one is from Tom Schaefer that you mentioned. Actually, Tom has been submitting a large amount of great classes, and I hope he continues to do so.
He's also using XSLT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically it simplified the format to make it easier to manage and extract information from there. Well, other than that, any other class that if you remember anyone, because there are so many that were nominated.
Let's quickly look here.
Well, while you review some of those that you may remember or not, one that I found very impressive is this HR PHP, which basically to detect features on images like faces and mouths, and it is a very unusual purpose. It implements an algorithm to detect the shapes in pictures, and probably can be used for those effects on Google Hangouts that detect where is the position of a face and try to apply some overlay. Yeah. Well, any other one that you remember that could be interesting to comment?
I saw something. Turn from PDF looks interesting. by Alex Salova. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce that. Sorry, buddy.
This print form PDF.
Yeah, print from PDF from PDF templates. Hold on.
Yeah, that's also useful because it parses some PDF documents to that to act as templates and inserts some text and other things that you can insert in the document.
Like watermarking. Looks very interesting.
Well, okay. Well, this is very interesting and
Another point that I liked to see within last year is the growth of API clients and our API facilities. And has been most of the websites or services that are tied to the internet, because of the mobility growth, they always try to simplify by providing an API so you can consume it or use this as a feature within your website. And I've seen such classes such as Basebean API and other lots of other API components that I can't recall exactly right now, but I like to see people putting their effort on this, because it's proven that there are services still that require some work to be done. And Facebook has been one of the most known API providers that changes things and doesn't document them, or at least notify the developer, so they break their code easily. And I've been using PHP classes and those components to understand it easier, because when you see a code that works, it's easier to understand, at least for somebody who codes.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a programmer's documentation, and it's nice to see that people are switching efforts on this as well.
Right. Well, it's true there have been many packages that make it easy to access certain APIs. Well, unfortunately, you don't have much time to comment on much more of those. So,
I like your OpenAuth API, or your OpenAuth class.
Oh, yeah. That is a time saver, because the OAuth protocol is terrible. I mean, the implementations are very inconsistent. Each one of them has differences. And well, I developed just to make it easier for people to log in with their accounts on Facebook or Google or other sites. And I noticed there were differences between them. And once you provide a single API that abstracts those differences, people become much more productive and do not waste their time trying to figure why certain API is different from the other, and which is terrible. And it's great that you mentioned it, because I see practically every week there are new people complaining, oh, I want to access this API, but I'm not able to do it with the OAuth libraries that they provide.
Yeah,
everyone's only able to access Twitter, Facebook, and Flickr with it.
Yeah,
but I haven't actually completed the project I was using for it.
Yeah, because it's not just authorization; it's also the access to the API calls. And when at least in OAuth 1, the parameters have to be signed, but the parameters can be in the URL or can be in a header, and it depends. Some services adopt one position and others do it differently, and it's terrible. And the class is going to get very large because of supporting so many different APIs, and I probably have to detach some of the code to make it more expansible without having to change the code all the time. Well, to end this interview, I just would like to ask you your opinion about first something that you may not like so much in PHP classes that you'd like to see improved, and then something else that you like and appreciate.
Things I like to see improved. Well, I like how the class offers a play, or the site offers a way for me to publish my code and let people check it out and see, like be able to vote. And I like the fact that you guys provide awards.
Yeah.
I'm using Zen Studio now, and I have to say I really like that.
You got it as a prize, right?
Yeah, got it as a prize. So out of the few, I think that's one I still use. I still have Komodo, but I don't really use it anymore.
No.
But Zen Studio I do use with Zen Server Community Edition.
Yeah.
I guess maybe what I'd like to see, maybe if it was easier for people to recruit jobs so I don't have to use a resume.
Yeah. You mean you mean to apply to the jobs or?
Yeah, something that, where I don't have to actually send them a separate file. Like, to me, I find that's just redundant. That's just my opinion. It's my opinion.
Right.
So, you know, people see the work already there.
I see what you mean. Is that it's that some recruiters or companies expect that they want you to send a separate file so they look at it and because there are options for them to choose how to apply. You could just send them a comment and look at my resume here, and that would be it. But since that is an option, some companies require that to send a resume. But well, I guess there's not much that can be done about that. But anyway,
maybe auto-generate a PHP class's resume. That may be an interesting option, I guess, for something to think about as a feature.
Well, one thing that was already requested, and maybe I would like to do it in the future, but it's buried in a large queue of to-do things, is the ability to show what have you done so far in the site that deserved some recognition, and probably that would help the recruiters or the companies to realize better the value of the capabilities of the developer that is applying. And that is something that I would like to do, but just don't know when. But
thing I like though is the GitHub. I like the fact that I can connect to GitHub and quickly upload my classes easily.
Yeah,
that's a big time saver.
Right, that took me a long time to develop, but it was really necessary.
I like it so.
Yeah, and it was not easy because the Git protocol is not very well documented, and you have to figure a lot of things. And
Manuel is like he reverses engineer things to understand them as well.
Well, it's not just me. I have to confess that I also checked code from others, even other people PHP classes. I think it was Cesar Rodas that sent a class to access Git repositories. I checked that. I also checked the C source code of the Git command, so to understand why certain things were not working, because the documentation is very, very poor of the protocol. And never mind. As long as it is working now, there were some glitches in the past because there are bugs in the interpretation of the protocol. But fortunately, they were solved because some developers said, oh, there are some files missing here. And I had to investigate until I figured what was the problem.
But yeah, I know some files don't get downloaded, but that's not a problem because I have a link to the GitHub anyways on my project.
Those are intentional features, like very large files
or zip files
or binary files, because that is a feature that is there intentionally because we never know if somebody's trying to spread some malware or so the site only accepts a file format that it can verify that it is what it says it is. But if for some reason you find a format that you would like to see imported and maybe the site could verify it and support it better, just let me know. I know there are people that would like to see PDF supported. And, I need to investigate. I don't know what kinds of format did you stumble there?
It just had to be zip files that I was using as testers that didn't get uploaded to the other ones. But, you know, it's not a problem because...
What were test files? Not exactly part of the package.
Not really,
would be required. No, okay, that I see. Well, that's great. Well, practically ended this interview. I'd like to thank you for our participation.
Oh, but we are forgetting one point. Which Jörn, his renowned elephant.
No, he's already showed it.
Oh, I didn't see it. How come did I didn't see it?
You probably are looking beginning. At your screen sharing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well.
And my nephew and my niece, they all loved it. And I probably have now. It's a matter of honor to provide an innovative component and be able to earn one.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. I already told you before. Well, I hope with the new features that are being implemented with the porting and privilege systems, people will start to contribute more and probably in different ways that provide more value. Anyway, as I was saying, I would like to thank you for coming, for participating in this interview. And
thank you for having me.
I would like to just invite you to continue in the show and help to comment on some of the latest happenings in the PHP world. That is the usual part of the podcast that I think most people that watch this are probably more interested in. Basically, I would like to start here. Let me screen share just a few pages that okay, there were some announcements. First, I would like to comment on the announcement from Zen that they have released the source code of the Zen Optimizer Plus that we commented on the last show. They offered to contribute to the Zen Optimizer Plus, which is an extension that basically does some caching of the PHP code, so the code loads faster, and eventually the sites will also be faster thanks to that. The original plan is to integrate APC, but since APC still has some bugs that are hard to fix and nobody is working enough on them to fix them, the Zen, the people offered the Zen Optimizer Plus extension, and just recently they finally released the source code, because it used to be closed source, and they actually made it available on GitHub.
It's very nice to see this participation from Zen, because it could represent lots of revenue, but it's like improving PHP in one sense as well.
Right. Well, I think this the caching part of this extension used to be part of
the server.
No, it used to be part. Well, I don't know about the Zen server, the paid version, but. It would used to be part of their caching extension that is a paid product.
Right, and they had a Zen Guard, which was that you could sort of obfuscate your code and.
Yeah, it used to encode files.
Yeah, Zen Encoder.
Yeah, but that's a separate product, and well, it's interesting that they are releasing now this code as open source, because. Probably they are giving up on some of the revenue that it used to generate, and I think it adds great value to the PHP, because PHP required was actually in a need to have a caching extension shipping with PHP. It was planned to be APC, but it seemed that it never happened. Carl, do you use any caching extensions on your
right now? No. I haven't actually tried it on my Ubuntu install yet.
Probably the caching extensions are not the sites that you have do not need a caching extension. Probably they are not very busy.
At the moment, no. But you know, eventually I'll try it out. I just have to try and compile it on my Ubuntu system.
Yeah, maybe that's actually I use eAccelerator. I think it's the current name. It was originally it used to be Turk MMCache. And that extension was done by Dmitry Stogov, and then he was invited to work at Zend and stopped working on that extension, but somebody else picked it. And now I think Dmitry has lended his knowledge in the caching extensions to the Zend Optimizer Plus. And one of the arguments that they provided to adopt Zend Optimizer Plus instead of APC is that they have several developers that know about caching extensions. I mean, specifically Zend Optimizer Plus, so it can be used on on PHP, and has several developers to support it to fix bugs because they know it well. And these kind of extensions are very critical. They cannot fail, because if they fail, they crash the whole PHP execution. And this it is great to see, but what was planned is there should be a vote of the RFC that they presented to have this included in PHP, but then I don't know when that vote will happen. I think it should be happening anytime sooner. They already released the source codes for everybody to evaluate. So I don't know what are their plans for this. And other than that, there was also an article. I don't know if I pasted the URL over here. And about the, yeah, it's here. Well, about the PHP 5.5 roadmap.
Right.
I did not paste it here. I'm trying to screen share it. Yeah, here it is. It's a message from Julien Paulier. He's one of the maintainers of PHP 5.5. Is release manager. And they practically assume that this RFC is being voted for approval. So they cannot assume that until the vote of the RFC happens and if it passes. But what they are saying that they're for now that it's being planned to integrate the Zend Optimizer Plus, there will be a feature freeze on PHP 5.5, and this means that any new features that anybody may want to propose that must be for future PHP versions, like PHP 5.6 eventually, or PHP 6, we don't know, it will always depend, but for PHP 5.5, it is not. It is something that it's practically closed. Carl, do are you familiar with the plan, the features for PHP 5.5? Do you find those features interesting?
It'd be interesting what happens. Right now, two of my web servers are using PHP 5.4. Actually, I've jailbroken some of my iOS devices, and I'm running PHP on those.
Oh, you're not supposed to say that you did that.
Well, you know, I have an iPod Touch Generation 1, so, I mean, it's obsolete as far as Apple's concerned.
Yeah, there will be no more updates.
Oh, none. Same with my iPhone 3G. I think they're old. I don't use them for anything else. But, but the fact that I run PHP on them...
Oh, really?
Yeah, PHP and MySQL.
So what happens? Do you run a web server?
There's an actual project called iOS WebStack that you can actually install through the thing. It's just all open source. It's a pretty interesting project. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually put PHP 5.5 on there.
Yeah,
but my Zend community server is running PHP 5.3.
Oh, I see. Well, there, I think at least everybody should be running. I think it's PHP 5.3.11, because before that there are some security bugs that may cause your web server to crash.
Okay. Yeah. Everything I run is local.
Okay. Well. About this PHP 5.5, there is not much anything new about it. There was a new alpha version, I think. I'm not sure if it was alpha 5 or something like that. But there are no new features, just a new version to test, and that's it. Well, moving on with the podcast, another topic that I would like to comment is about that article that I published a few weeks ago.
Accessories to why PHP is a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody listening to the podcast was able to read it. I just put it here on screen. And basically, the story is very simple. There was a guy in the Quora site where they put questions and answers, and they basically he asked if there was a language war, which language you'd support and why. And then there was a guy that also provided a very creative response, and on which he started comparing languages with characters of the Lord of the Rings story.
If there was a war, if there is a war of programming languages, who would support and why?
Yeah. Well,
I think the answer
is funnier than the question. Because they started comparing the One Ring with C, because it has the power of all that everybody wants to get. And then he starts comparing with other...
C++ is evil.
I look at this, and they compared PHP with orcs because it's ugly, doesn't respect rules, it's a bit of a headache to a lot of people who manage them, but still dominates the Middle Earth. And but what they say is that orcs are teaming with Saruman, and Saruman they compare to C++.
Right.
This was a reference to the hip hop PHP compiler by Facebook that used to be a C++ translator, and that's no longer true. They are now have a JIT with dynamic compilation. It's no longer a C++ translation, so that is not accurate. So I decided to write this article just to put the record straight, at least in my opinion. Of course, this is not a general opinion.
Yeah.
And basically, I just felt that it wasn't fair to compare PHP with orcs, because if you follow the story of the Lord of the Rings, in the end, the hobbits are the ones that solve everybody's problems. So I think it would be more adequate to compare PHP with the hobbits. Not just because of that, because of other reasons. People start always say that PHP is not beautiful, but what matters is that it is useful, because in the end, if it were not the hobbits, who else would solve the big problems? And,
right.
And PHP is very popular, unlike the orcs, I think. Orcs are not very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... and so on. There are many. I put like 6 reasons here. I think I could make up a few more.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah, one that I put here, and I was a bit reluctant to put it here, is that the PHP success causes the envy of others, and I think this is very accurate, because I see most people that complain against PHP usually somebody that has an agenda to favor some other language. Can be Ruby or Python or
Perl.
Yeah, Perl.
Anything. And the fact
some
is
of, yeah, some of the Python community, some of, sorry, but I just wanted to say that some of the Python community tried to boycott PHP and their Google's infrastructure. And this is something that I don't understand at all.
Well, that is one theory that, although Google will never put that out that way, but the fact is that the Google hired the creator of Python. And there is also that process of hiring of Google is that you have to pass several interviews. And if you are a PHP developer and you face a Python fan, you don't pass the interview and you are out. That probably explains why there are not many people developing PHP in Google.
I see.
Well, but that is just a theory. It's not based on first-hand knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the PHP success, I think in great part is due to the popularity of certain projects, more specifically WordPress. WordPress is huge. I think WordPress alone would be bigger than PHP because... I see many people that are just WordPress developers. They do not develop anything in PHP, just WordPress, which is amazing. They might even know how to create themes, because the themes in WordPress are also PHP code. But they probably would not know much about object-oriented programming or stuff. This is quite impressive. Anyway, what PHP has that probably justifies this popularity is that people that are behind PHP and WordPress are very pragmatic. They want to solve the problems. It doesn't matter if the code in the end is very beautiful or not. And this probably upsets those people that care about code well formatted, very readable according to a certain standard that they impose. And well, this is a bit hard, but it also matters. Anyway, this is just a fun article. It was not meant to be taken too seriously.
But
it had a lot of comments.
There is one saying, right, that computers exist to solve problems that never existed before.
Yeah.
And code cleanup or code beauty, code standards or code conventions are also trying to address a problem which has never existed before, because the real problem is to actually do what you want to do and produce results. Then this is the main objective, and I mean, the human being is very powerful and very intelligent. Sometimes they focus on not the main objective, and PHP does what it does, and it does very well, and it's the main objective.
Right, that's very true. Anyway, I don't know if you wanted to comment anything else regarding this article. If not, we need to move on to the next section of the podcast, on which you comment on the latest classes. First, those that were published on the JS Classes site. And let me screen share it here. Well, in the last month, there were like, I think, about 10 classes. And we already started the Innovation Award in the JS Classes site. So... at least until this month, we should not comment on those that will be nominated, because to not influence the vote. This means that we only have like 3 classes that will not be nominated. And any which one would like to comment?
I'll take the Ajax. Ajax request. So far, this looks pretty interesting. It's not jQuery based.
Can you screen share? Can you share the?
Hold on. Got screen sharing going.
Yeah, if you can increase.
So far, it's not jQuery based, but it's using basically the standard JavaScript for making the requests. Honestly, I would have done it in jQuery myself. It'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, there are pros and cons on depending on jQuery or not, but basically nowadays jQuery is very widely.
Of course.
jQuery is very...
Everybody has like their own preference.
Yeah.
Mind you, this guy probably has more control. But so far it looks nice, but it from what I see, it looks like it's mostly get requests.
Yeah.
I don't...
Sorry, There are a couple of for Ajax. Which ones are you commenting? It's that the.
I was commenting on the JavaScript Ajax request. Send Ajax request with to a given web server.
Okay.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Oh, he's from Brazil. Ricardo Ludes Rossi. Sorry if I butchered your name, buddy. It looks interesting.
No, right. That's the one. Because there's another one. Hernani, before you... drop your connection, can you comment on the JavaScript?
I'm not the one dropping my connection, just for the record.
But okay, you are not doing on purpose.
Yeah, I'm having Wi-Fi issues here. I've been trying to address it. Maybe somebody can write components to address Wi-Fi issues. That would be nice.
It would be innovative.
Yeah, for sure.
Depends on your hardware.
But yes, the component is from Fabio. He's from Brazil. And it's a jQuery plugin to show month calendar on a page. And it can render a table inside of the given page element with the days of the calendar of a month. And it's nice to see components like this. There are standard calendars,
yeah.
Right? But it's nice to see components that add features. And this is okay. They could improve the standard calendar, but sometimes it's not a decision that it's easy to be taken, and it's nice to see that people are still working on improving the standard control, the standard UI components from jQuery.
Yeah, well, I don't know if HTML. I'm not sure if HTML5 has some form input to pick dates. Anyway, you cannot rely on whether the browser supports. Any of those inputs, but on my part, I also would like to comment on another class. Let me put it on the right page. I changed it. The other one is also for sending Ajax requests, and there are quite a few classes to send Ajax requests. There are, that topic is almost covered, but since this time we are not focusing on innovative components, we'll just comment on those that were not nominated for this month. In this case, it was the AJAF, I'm not sure how it is pronounced, from Pierre-Henri Soria. And basically, it does what you see in many objects for this purpose, which is to define some callbacks that will handle the responses of sending Ajax requests. This month, that is all that we're going to comment about JavaScript classes. And starting next month, we're going to only comment on innovative classes. So I hope everybody that is submitting classes to the JS class decide to send mainly innovative classes so we can talk about them. So now we are going to move on to the Innovation Award winners that were nominated in December of 2012. And there were like 10 nominees. Carl, can you please start commenting about a couple of classes that you found more interesting?
Okay, I'm going to comment on the PHP MySVN admin by Jas Winder from Canada, my country.
Emphasis on Canada.
Yeah.
If you can screen share the page of the class, it would be interesting.
Yes, hold on. Let's share that.
Yeah, it's always a challenge when you have several monitors, right?
Oh, yeah. I turned off the third one. It's on USB. Wait, no. That's wrong. Okay, it should be sharing right now. Okay. Basically, this guy got number two.
Yeah.
So let me see.
I suppose the
Pardon me?
I suppose this Jas Winder, Just Wonder is probably a nickname.
I guess so. Basically, it looks pretty simple to set up. Basically, it configures the SVN file. So yeah, you have to actually have SVN set up. I would use INI myself, but
yeah. Well, it is always useful if you are working with SVN and you have to manage to create some repositories and manipulate them. I think there were other classes to access. There are other classes to manage. To access Subversion repositories, but this is the first one to do actual management tasks. So kudos to Jazzwinder for his contribution. And other than that, which one would like to comment?
I was going to also comment on the Lee Edwards of Canada as well. Created Davis Weather, communicate with Davis Weather stations. Basically, what this does is it can communicate over TCP/IP with the weather station using the IP in the port. And let's see, take a look at it. Oh, and it can store the information that you grab in MySQL.
Right.
Let me just pull up.
I don't know if your screen is frozen.
Is mine?
Yeah, because it only shows the same picture.
Hold on, let's go back and screenshot the second window.
You have to restart screen sharing. I don't know if it is a bug of Google Hangouts. We've been using Google Hangouts since the beginning, and it used to be worse, but it already has been better than this.
It's first time using it, so I'm still trying to get used to it.
Okay.
Okay, so looks really nicely laid out, nice and clean. Code-wise, I haven't actually tested it, so.
Yeah, this one is to
check on Canadians.
Davis Weather Station. I'm not familiar with these weather stations, but I suppose there are some external device you communicate to with probably a network cable.
It should be a sufficient way to gather weather data and provide something on top of it.
And this one is by Lee Edwards, also from Canada. You did not pick classes from Canadians intentionally, right? It was totally...
Sure.
they probably are paying you to do that.
No one's paying me anything.
Maybe they should. You are giving some additional exposure. And any which ones would like you to comment on this month?
Okay. If my connection doesn't drop, the first component that I like to see here is the shortened text to fit within a limited length. It can be a basic component if you consider it to one standpoint, but it can also teach other developers how to have ideas to provide things as a benefit to try to shorten links, to shorten text, and to try to summarize things as well.
Yeah, and that one, let me see. That one is from...
Yeah, let me just get the name of the submitter. I couldn't find it. I just see Tony here, so maybe he didn't mention his full name.
No, it's from Australia. It's from Australia, and in Australia there is only one Tony. That's the one.
I see. So well. I guess I was right.
Yes, you are right. Well,
How come don't you know Tony?
It's Tony from Australia. Who else can it be? And actually, this class, there are other classes for somewhat similar purposes, but they do not work with the same constraints, and this one is innovative because of that.
Right.
Being able to fit a text
Yeah, one feature that I like it, it may also fit into columns of a table.
Yeah.
By shortening or wrapping the text on the column. So it's nice to see that he's doing some kind of server-side optimization to address this particular need.
Yeah, sometimes you need to send, for instance, a newsletter in text, and you need to display something in tables. And in this case this class can be useful for that purpose, because this one there are other classes that can fit some text in within a given length, but it is graphical text, not text considered on a character basis. And okay, once again, kudos to Tony from Australia for his contribution. I hope he continues to send more innovative packages. It's like the second innovative package that he sends. And other than that, which other class would you like to comment?
Yeah, the next one is from Yasir Siddiqui, if I'm spelling his name correctly, or saying his name correctly. And he's from Pakistan. And it fetches Apple iTunes data, and I like to see this, because sometimes you have to, let's imagine that you are building a website that wants to track down an artist's library, and you can pull it out from iTunes data and fetch metadata, which can be useful for your service. And it's most likely that it will be available most of the time because of the infrastructure that Apple provides on the iTunes Store. So it's nice to see that you can benefit this as a web service.
Right. This I think this uses this parses XML feeds that are results of searches done on iTunes site. Well, on my part, I would like to also mention a couple of classes. One is to use the Mailman, which is a mailing list manager program written in Python. And this is just to say that there are no hard feelings towards Python as a language or Python developers here. We PHP developers do not have a problem to interface with the Python programs if they are great, like the Mailman, which is very popular. Mailing list manager, at least in the past, I used to hear about it a lot. And this one is from Angel Talaveron from Spain. And it is his first nomination, but I hope he can continue to submit more innovative classes. And the other class that I would like to mention, this one I could say it's almost from a veteran, Pashkov Denis Igorevich. Sorry, Pashkov. This is really challenging. And I was saying he's a veteran because from 19 packages, 10 have already been nominated to the Innovation Award, and one of them was even a winner in one month. And this one, it is somewhat related with the previous that he published. Basically, it can extract patterns of text based on examples. So you provide some examples of text strings that you want to extract, and it analyzes some of the format, some punctuation characters that it may contain to figure a regular expression that would match those patterns. And this is very advanced, and like others that Pashkov have sent in the past. So kudos for him.
Yeah, I believe that this can not only be used by text to extract text, but also tag from a website, right?
Well, maybe it can be adapted because, we have to consider also that the characters that usually make part of tags, but I think it can be a possibility. But this one was not thought specifically for HTML. It's just for general text, so it maybe could be adapted to address better the needs to extract patterns from HTML documents. Well, with this one, we practically ended this podcast. I would like to thank you, Carl, once again for coming, and congratulations for your nomination. I hope you this continues to be an encouragement to send more innovative packages and things. As I mentioned before, hopefully you will become even more fun to submit packages, because there will be this new system of points and privileges. There will be different levels of reputation that are being applied on the site. This is something that is being worked on. It's not yet available. Only a few beta testers have access to it, but things will continue to be more interesting and address better the needs of more developers. And with that note, I don't know if you have anything else to add.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Carl. So I have something to add. I just wanted to thank you for your contribution, for sure. And just wanted to also reemphasize Manuel's efforts here, that it's nice to see people providing nice components. And it's nice to see that you gave your time here to us and your opinion. That really matters. Don't think otherwise. And another point is, I hope it benefits your career, since you said you don't work at the field of PHP, but I guess it's somewhat your passion. And in
something
life,
I like to do.
Yeah,
and that's what I was hoping with this site, was to expose what I'm capable of doing, so people can hire me.
Yeah, and I believe that working with IT or to development, it's something that I love to do, and I guess you somewhat love to do, and Manuel loves to do. I can exactly tell that. And it's very nice to see that somebody who puts passion on things to benefit from it. And I expect that within your career you find your challenges on this field, because you are very talented developer.
Well,
and one question that I have for you is, would you be available for remote work? And if you do, should people contact you over PHP Classes site for any discussion?
Yes, if they they're more than welcome to contact me through the PHP Classes site. If they have, I'm available for remote work.
Oh, so that's great.
Yeah, you are more than welcome to contact me for either piecework or if you need me to do a project. You know,
freelances and etc.
Yep.
That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah, and just to make it easy.
Yeah.
Now, just to mention that anybody that wants to hire Carl, just to go on the site there, on the pages of their classes, there is a link that you can use to contact him to precisely for that purpose. And it says this developer is available for hiring. And you just click on that link and you'll be in touch with Carl with whatever are your needs, to see if he can help you. Sorry, Hernani, you were concluding.
Oh, no problem. I just hit it on mute here. Yeah, the other, just another point is, sometimes you don't have the free time that you wanted to have to put your passion on it, because you have your day job and you can't mix up things. And I totally get it. But if things can be done in parallel, it's great to see that you are available. And I wish you all the best on your endeavor.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, all on that awesome note, we practically end this podcast. So on my behalf, I hope to see you next month. So that's all for now. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah.